السلام عليكم.
No problem. Take your time.
I'm ready for the walk.
After 7 o'clock, we will go for a walk until 8.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Him. We bear witness that there is no deity except Him and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon Him, His companions, His household, and those who follow Him until the day of judgment. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. The implementation of the name of Allah al-Adl in our daily life. The implementation of the name of Allah al-Adl in our daily life, which is in particular, specifically, we're speaking about keeping the balance between what is spiritual and what is materialistic, feeding vitamins for the body and feeding vitamins for the soul. And these three spiritual vitamins that we were talking about is the first one is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the second one is the very strong desire to go to Jannah. And the third one is very strong fear from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is simulating His love in a very unique way, which is talking and reminding us about the blessings He gave to us. We, at that particular scenario, we talked about Brother Zaki. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. And Allah has sent an angel to pray instead of him last Saturday because if you have an excuse not to come to the masjid, and without this excuse, you would have been in the masjid. Allah will always send a substituting angel. It's called a substituting angel to substitute for you in the same place, so that you're not missed in that place. If you plan to go to Hajj and you didn't go, Allah will send a substituting angel to go instead of you, and so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extensively in Surah At-Tawbah talking about the people who were caught in Medina because they have valid excuses, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَقْطَعُونَ وَادِيًا وَلَا تَنَالُونَ مِنْ عَدُوٍ نَيْلًا إِلَّا كُتِبَ لَهُمْ بِهِ عَمَلٌ صَالِحٌ. You don't cross a valley. We're walking towards the enemy. So Allah saying to the believers, you don't cross a valley, and you don't get into confrontation with your enemy without them getting their share of reward as though they are with you. إِلَّا كُتِبَ لَهُمْ بِهِ عَمَلٌ صَالِحٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about that clearly, that He is the one who prevented them from going but not making it possible for them to go. Poverty, diseases, lack of resources, because they cried to the Prophet, we want to go. He said, I don't have anything to give to you. And so they went crying and they were very sad that the Prophet doesn't have even a weapon to give to them. And that was how tough it was, and they could not go because of that. And they went crying. So Allah specifically talked about them, saying that they are getting a replacement. Hasanat, the way you're getting hasanat. And then the Prophet further elaborated into explaining that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends an angel, substituting angel, to substitute for those people who otherwise would have been there if this excuse did not exist. So we enjoyed the angel Zaki last week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and bless you. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. In this particular scenario, we remembered to talk about, you know, when somebody does you a favor, $100, you love him so much, $1,000, you love him even more and more. And this is how Allah is stimulating His love, by reminding us about two kinds of favors. The first one are the general favors that covers everybody. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا, the sun and its rise. Allah is reminding us about the favor of the sun, and then the favor of the rise of the sun and the business hour. The duha time, which is the business hour. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا, and the night when it covers the sun like a blanket to provide peace at night. All these are general favors for everybody. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us individually about individual favors. And here is the catch. Somebody is going to say, aha, I caught you. You caught me how? You said individual favors, right? That is for you, but not for everybody else. Generic favors in the Quran are, of course, you know, because the Quran is a book for everybody. But private favors, that is applies for you, but not for anybody else. How is that possible? In the Quran read by the whole Muslim Ummah, how could it possible that Allah is talking to you only? And this Quran reminding you about a favor that applies only to you in the Quran. And now, in order to give you an example, how is this possible? Let's go through Surah Al-Duha in particular. Wal-Duha, Allah starts the Surah by the general favors. Wal-Duha, I swear by Al-Duha. Allah can swear by anybody, we can swear by other than Allah. Rule number one. Rule number two, when Allah is swearing by something, Allah, number one, is highlighting the greatness of that thing and reminding us of the favor that He did to us by giving us that thing. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you know when you are reading a book and you do a highlighter, you bring the yellow highlighter and you highlight text. When Allah swears, this is exactly what He's doing. I'm saying something very important, you pay better attention. You better pay attention and give me and listen carefully and take it seriously. This is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears. So He's swearing by Duha. So part of the reason is to remind us with the business hours when the sun rises. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى, the night covers, and the blessing of going back to sleep and to bed and spend time with the family, to feel at home and relax, and then to go to sleep, and everybody around you will go to sleep because it is a peace time. وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Now he's talking to the Prophet, telling him, Allah did not abandon you, and Allah did not desert you. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. The life and the to come is much better for you than this life. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Allah is going to give you and give you and give you until you are so pleased to the maximum of your pleasure. And then reminding him, the Prophet Muhammad, about his favors. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا. Didn't he find you orphan, and then he sheltered you, provided you with the shelter, provided he took care of you better than what would your parents do to you? He did much better than your parents, even though he took your parents away from you, but he substituted you with the replacement parents that did to you much better than your original parents. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَلًّا فَهَدَى. After that, once you grew up out of your childhood, after the age of innocence, he found you ضَلًّا. The word ضَلًّا in Arabic, somebody might think it means misguided. Well, it means that, right? But in particular situation, it means that a level of love. Love has levels. The highest level of love is the love to the level of ضَلَال. When you love someone to the level that you are unable to see the truth, you are so blind because of your love, and you can't see the truth because of your love, this is called dalal.
Next word?
No, the person, the other person becomes spoiled, if you can spoil a child. But when you love something to the level that you are unable to see the truth, this is called the level of dalal. Which is, let's say for example, you love your friend to the level that you are unable to see how bad is he. Or you love something that you do very much to the level that you are unable to see that it's very destructive to you or very harmful. You love this being in this road so much to the level that you are so unable to recognize something very, very obvious, which is that this thing is very, very bad. This is called the level of love called the dalal. Now, Allah has found the Prophet Muhammad in a condition of dalal, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that He loved him so much to the level that he's unable to recognize anything else in life. He would go into a cave, isolate himself, and think about nothing but who is Allah. Who is he? Cries day and night, Ya Allah, I want to know who you are. Ya Allah, tell me more who you are. He was so much starving into knowing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has loved him before he knew about him. Now, having so much love with so little knowledge is a condition of dalal. Condition of dalal, which is the literal translation, misguidance. And if you be more accurate, you be misguidance motivated by excessive love. To the condition of dalal, even the people who are dal in this life, they are motivated by the excessive love of their temptations. They love their temptations so much that they are unable to recognize that they are destroying themselves. You are destroying yourself by following your temptations. You love your temptations so much, or people who love money so much, they keep the money, they don't know what they are doing to themselves. The ones who loves the money so much to the level that he doesn't want to spend, ends up in a very miserable situation, which is, in this life, he leaves the life of poverty. And the hereafter, he's judged in the court, the judgment of rich people. He got bad deal, very bad deal. In this life, he lives as very, very poor because he doesn't want to spend. And the hereafter, Allah judges him in the court of rich people, not in the court of poor people. Judges him for penny by penny. The court people have their own expectations, have their own standards, have their own judgment. Different from the poor people. The poor people have their own expectations, have their own standards, have their own accountability. And it's very easy for the poor people. Very simple. Did you pray? Yes. They have only three pillars of Islam. They don't have... Two of the pillars of Islam are already gone. Saying shahada, making salah, fasting. Fasting is easy. They are fasting anyway. They don't have food to eat. They are fasting 365. Zakah? Zakah what? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Nothing to pay as zakah. Hajj? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Hajj, they are exempted from Hajj because they can't afford it. So, just to start with, three pillars of Islam. One of them is already very easy. They are doing it every day. And then becomes just prayers and manners. You know, they follow that, they are done. Okay, you have very easy accountability. Yeah, dismiss the two Jannah. The other guy, okay, let's go. Allah, yeah, the other rich guy. Allah said at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah that Allah would not burden a soul beyond its capacity, beyond its circle of influence, which means that you, Allah, is not going to hold you responsible beyond your capacity, beyond your circle of influence, which also means that everything within your capacity, within your circle of influence, Allah is expecting you to do it. So it means both ways. Be careful. It means, yes, good news, that anything beyond your circle of influence, beyond your ability, you're not responsible of it. Allah is not going to judge you for it. That is the half part of the cup that is full. But the empty part of the cup that is not full is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is holding you accountable to what you can do. If you can do it, but you didn't do it, that's the problem right there. So, everybody, according to this verse, will be liable to whatever his circle of ability, circle of influence, capacity is. Which means that the king is judged by different standards than the slave. The rich by different standards than the poor. The strong by different standards than the weak. What kind of judgment and accountability a slave, an African-American slave, let's say for example, who was abducted from Africa, put under excessive, abusive slavery in the United States, was forced into a religion, and he did not have any choices. What kind of standard is he held accountable to? Didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran, إِلَّا الْمُسْتَضَعْفِينَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ وَالْوِلْدَانِ الَّذِينَ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ حِيلَةً وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ سَبِيلًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ عَصَى اللَّهُ أَنْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Exception is given to al-mustad'afin, the very oppressed, controlled, slaved people, individuals among men, women, and children who have no way out and who have nowhere to go. And there is nothing. I mean, there's nothing that they can do. For those, Allah may forgive them, for Allah is very merciful, very forgiving. So that particular guy is almost held accountable to nothing. What did I have in my hands? Except just my heart, the feelings of my heart. That's about it. That's all what I can do. Very, very small, little circle of influence and capacity. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the level of dalal that led us into this discussion. And the level of dalal is when you are so much in love by something that it will lead you astray, unable to recognize the truth. And the particular example that led us into this discussion, when you're so much in love with money that led you to keep the money to yourself, so you are judged here, you are living here the life of poverty, but you're judged in the day of judgment in the court of rich people. So Allah has found the Prophet in a condition of dalal. And then, but so much love, very little knowledge. So much love, very little knowledge. Very dangerous situation that could lead somebody into a very wrong path. Then Allah is telling him, I have found you in the condition of dalal, and I guided you. I told you who I am. I told you what are my expectations. And I've given you all the knowledge that you need to know about me. And more. فَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. Then Allah is saying, okay, now what you need to do is to thank me for these favors. How? Number one, فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. Don't you ever be mean to the orphan. Don't rebel the orphan. Get out of here, you dirty boy, street rat. No. فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. Remember that when you were yatim, didn't he, I majid ka yatiman fa'awa, didn't he find you an orphan and he sheltered you? In return, pay back the favor by, don't you ever rebel the orphan. فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. And the one who comes begging you for money, don't yell at him and insult him. If you think that he's not serious and he's faking it, dismiss him kindly. Say, I'm sorry, you know, I can't give you. Because I think that you are taking it as a profession, for example. But otherwise, I can't give you. Don't say, get out of here, you bastard! Don't you never come! No, don't yell at him. In respect, in following, in obedience to this particular verse. وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Then, as a general instruction, the favors that are given to you by your Lord, okay, thank them. فَحَدِّثْ, thank them. And show them on you. Don't be rich and wear poor clothes. Allah will give you a favor, don't pretend that you are otherwise. Don't pretend that you're otherwise. Show the favors of Allah on you. Not in an excessive way that you're bragging. There are two extremes. One extreme, also related to the names of Allah. One extreme is to brag about it. And to show it excessively. The other extreme is to completely hide it and appear the opposite. That is wrong. The middle way, thanking Allah and showing, reflecting. Allah is expecting to see the reflection of His favor in your condition. Should reflect in your condition. وَأَمَّا بِنَعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Good. We have gone through the surah, which is the first level that anybody would read the surah would understand. Now, how is that talking to you and me in particular? This is how it starts. You start reading the surah. Allah wants to let you know that He's talking to you. He's reminding you. So, the first thing will help you that to achieve that feeling is that when Allah is saying, Alam yajidka, didn't He find you? And you, and you, and you. Official tafsir, official interpretation that He's talking to the Prophet. All over the Quran, when He says you, 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 He's talking to the Prophet. Also an official explanation, officially by the scholars, they are saying, when He talks to the Prophet, and sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah bless you, and giving him an order, it also applies to you. So don't say, no, that was for the Prophet. So, you the Prophet, establish prayers. Say, oh, that was for the Prophet. I'm not going to establish prayers. No. It's for you and for the Prophet. But now, how is the special level where you feel that you start praying and then you start reciting the verses, and then you, Allah will make it, will put in your heart the feeling that this is for you. You suddenly feel that Allah, it comes into your heart. Suddenly you feel that Allah is talking to you. And the tears will come out of your eye when you feel that Allah is talking to you. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. You immediately remember the application of this verse to you. Oh yes, I was very poor and Allah made me, gave me wealth beyond what I used to dream with in my wildest dream. Oh yes, you start remembering. I was in a very severe poverty. I had this and Allah has given me and given me and given me. And the tears come to your eye. Starts crying. Because you are remembering how Allah did to you. It's much more closer to your memory and to your heart to reflect on these verses that apply to you in a way that applies to you than just to apply the Prophet. Most of the people might not understand how this is applicable to the Prophet, but everybody would understand that how is this applicable to me? أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. Yes, I was a crazy teenager in this age of insanity, not knowing what I'm doing, making wrong decisions, and got out of being teenager into the path of being distracted by so many things in this life. You know how that the target is Allah. That is the target. But there are so many distractions around. So for Allah to give you hidayah, Allah will show you this target as the most important, not the most important only, but the only target. And then the other distractions, Allah will help you not to fall in love with them so much that you're unable to recognize that there are more, that Allah is more important than them. So Allah giving you hidayah, here we are, this is the target, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once you realize that, do what Imam Ibn al-Qayyim did. He said very beautiful things in his book. He said, تحديق عدسة عين القلب على المطلوب وعدم الحياد عنه. He said, once you get to know this, what do? You focus the pupil of your eye on the target and don't look into homes, beautiful homes, millionaire, so many attractions in life that will flash like a camera. Try to get your attention. Will flash like a camera to get you to look at them. Even if you look at them, turn your face back into the target quickly. Here, focus. And then, تحديق عدسة القلب. Close, tighten the pupil of your eye so that you're focused on the target, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For these beautiful things were intended by Allah, not only as a test, but also as pieces of a chocolate, to keep a relationship with you, to tempt you with. We are like children, and the money, and the land, and the homes, these are pieces of a chocolate. And Allah is using them to maintain a relationship with you, is using them as language to talk to you. This is like ABC. For Allah is not going to talk to you, is not going to send you a letter. He talks to you through these pieces of a chocolate. Okay? He takes them from you. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, I want it. Ya Allah, I don't want to lose it. Ya Allah, save it, save it. Okay, alright, here it is. And then he gives you more. Ya Allah, I love you so much. So it is not intended for you not to love them. It is intended for you to say, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, I love this house, Ya Allah, so beautiful. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, give me, Ya Allah, give me, Ya Allah, give me. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, I love this car so much, it's so good, it's so beautiful, it's so good, Ya Allah, I want it. Ya Allah, the car, Ya Allah, the car, Ya Allah, the car. You know, it is intended as a piece of a chocolate to tempt you so that you pray and ask Allah, Oh Ya Allah, this thing is so gorgeous. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, $1 million, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Prophet Musa alayhi salam used to say, Rabbi, every time, you can see this in the Surah Al-Qasas, that every time Allah sends him a blessing, he always continuously communicating with Allah, and then he says, Rabbi, inni bima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Ya Allah, I am so needy to this beautiful thing that you gave to me. Ya Allah, I was so much in need to this house. Thank you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, please, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. A piece of a chocolate. Ask Allah. He wants that. It's a piece of a chocolate. He wants to tempt you so that you ask Him. And then, you know, that is the intention of these things, in addition to testing the people. So, don't take it, don't think that it is a target by itself. It was meant to be a tool to tempt you to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not meant, and that's how Allah, this is why Allah made you love it. Allah made you love it like a kid who loves the chocolate and the candy for that reason. Testing you to see which one is more important to you, which one is going to be your target, and at the same time, making you, okay, you have a piece of a chocolate. Well, I haven't heard your voice crying to me for a very long time. I want to hear your voice, my slave. Okay, I'm going to take it from you. As soon as he takes it from you, and instead of you doing a classical dua after the prayer, السلام عليكم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله رب العالمين آمين آمين الله اللهم أنت السلام آمين السلام الله وبركاته تعالى يا الله give me health give me protect my children a dua which is automatic machine like tape recorder that you memorize and you say accent minded without thinking about it. It's not coming out your okay so Allah says that voice doesn't reach me I want a voice that reaches me okay let's take his house. He lost his job. His house is in full pollution. It's almost. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. My house, Ya Allah. Where am I going to go? Me and kids in the street. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Save me, save me from this problem. Ya Allah, you are the most generous. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, please, please, please. Now Allah is hearing a different voice. So it is a way of communicating with you. Another way also that another style that Allah uses to communicate with you with these pieces of chocolate as alphabet, as ABC. Usually, for the good people, Allah gives them frequent punishments. If they do a bad deed, they get a frequent punishment right away. Small frequent punishments to wake them up right away. Okay? For the bad guys, Allah saves the punishment to the end. He saves, he doesn't punish them until the end comes and he gives them the most awful punishment that will break them for eternity. يَقْصُمْهُمْ إِنِّي إِذَا غَضِبْتُ عَلَى عَبْدِي رَزَقْتُهُ مِنْ حَرَامُ When I'm angry with my slave, I give him his provisions through haram channels. فَإِذَا اشْتَدَّ غَضَبِي عَلَيْهِ زِدْتُ لَهُ مِنْ رِزْقُهُ فِي الْحَرَامِ When I get even more angry with him, I give him more provisions through haram channels. ثُمَّ حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذْتُهُ لَمْ أُفْلِدْ Then when he's due for his end, I will take him in such a way that will destroy him forever, for eternity. That's it. So, for non-believers, for the bad guys that Allah doesn't like, no punishments in the middle. Allah leaves them to the laws of nature to reward them or to punish them based on their performance and diligence and efforts. And then no special punishments from Allah until the end, then Allah takes them. How about the good people? The good people are always, okay, you disobeyed the Prophet, defeat in the battle of Uhud. Boom, boom, two slaps. Little punishment that is not going to destroy you, but it's like spank. It's not cutting your head. That's not a punishment. That's not a wake-up call. That is a really destructive punishment. It's like a slap like this. Wake up. To the level that one of the righteous followers of Prophet Muhammad used to say, I disobey Allah in the market, I come back home, and my way home, my donkey is stubborn with me. He's giving me a hard time. And I have to get down and push my donkey and pull my donkey. And then when I go home, my wife is angry with me. So I see the punishment right away. So he's linking that. That is a message from Allah talking to him, saying, "I don't like what you're doing. You're making the wrong life choices. I don't like what you're doing. Absolutely, I don't like it. Wake up here." So by taking a piece of a chocolate, by giving him a hard time, okay, peace of mind is a piece of a chocolate. So by taking his peace of mind away, and these are intended to be that way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to focus on him as the target. Focus. That's it. Like this. And then these other flashes, this is the way you should perceive it. It's not a target by itself, but it is a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is getting closer to you, like you get a kid tempted by pieces of a chocolate. So back to Surah Al-Duha. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Didn't he find you without parents? And he gave to you the chocolate of having parents grow up in a care of adults who love you and who care about you. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَلًّا فَهَدَى. Then you start reflecting, feeling that Allah's talking to me. You relate to that to your story. Oh my God, yes, I was misguided coming out of the age of insanity, and I was having wrong targets, dallan, misguided. I thought that I want to be rich, and then keep killing myself to be rich. Then I find that this is not happiness. Then I see another mirage. Oh, my happiness is to be powerful and hold this position. I kill myself to get it, then I reach there, I'm not happy. Then, here's another mirage. Happiness is to marry this woman. You kill yourself and then marry her, and then she's giving you a hard time, or you didn't find happiness there. Happiness is this is all dalal, dalan. You fall in love with something that blinds you, you focus on it, and you don't see the big picture. He found you in the condition of dalal. And who can relate to that? At one point in our life, we were distracted by these objectives. Fahada, after a while, he gave you the chance. He was so patient with you, sending you messages left and right. You didn't get the first message, he sent you the second. You didn't get the second, he sends you the third. You didn't get the third, he sends you the fourth. You didn't get the fourth, he sends you the fifth. It's not like when the companions of Prophet Muhammad were given the message of the Battle of Uhud defeat, Allah revealed in the Quran that this was a message for you right away. In Surah Al-Anfal. حَتَّى إِذَا فَشِلْتُمْ وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَعَصَيْتُمُ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ ثُمَّ صَرَفَهَا عَنْكُمْ. Then he relieved you from it. He said, it's because you disobeyed the Prophet, you disputed among you, and you disputed the Prophet after he showed you, after Allah showed you the beginning of the victory, and you ran to the spoils of the war, and you disobeyed the Prophet, leaving your positions on the mountain. Alright? Some of you, unfortunately, some of you, minkum man yuridu dunya, some of you after the earnings and the pleasures of this life. وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ. And some of you are after the reward of the hereafter. Everybody was punished because of you, the ones who are after this life. It was a lesson. For Allah is الرب المربي. الرب المربي. One of the meanings of الرب, that المربي, the one who does تربيه, ribaya to his slave. So, you disobeyed me, you got it. Just imagine for a second that Allah did not punish them after they disobeyed the Prophet. And he made it in such a way that they continue succeeding. Then later on, another situation comes. Oh man, it's okay to disobey the Prophet. Yeah, remember we disobeyed him in the Battle of Uhud and we still won. It's okay to disobey him one more time, we still win. That would be the very, very wrong message. Just like a child who's goofing around making mistakes. And his father pretending that nothing happened. And he's still, okay, encouraging him. And even sometimes giving him prizes. And then the child is doing even awful mistake. And daddy is pretending that nothing happened. The dad is destroying his child. He's giving him the wrong message. Allah is Murabbi, more than a father to his son. Would you think that Allah will let you, if he loves you, of course? If you are from the other category, he will do something called in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it al-imla. So there is al-imhal and there is al-imla. Al-imla is to let you grow in evil until you do for end. He gives you one big punishment at the end. That's it. One big huge punishment that would break you for eternity. But if he loves you, he will not let you. Like a father loving his children. He will always give you one little slap, one little slap. So, in the Battle of Uhud, he mentioned that to them so they knew. They were not confused about it. It's Quran written and being recited until today. Allah says, and he should give you that. Then, he protected you at the end. He saved you at the end. ثُمَّ صَرَفَ عَنْكُمْ. So he did not let you achieve 100% defeat. Or he did not let you fall into 100% defeat. For 100% defeat, they would have been, most of them would have been killed. The rest would be captured as prisoners of wars and tortured by the non-believers to death. And this is the end. That's the 100% defeat. But Allah didn't want that. He just got you at the beginning of the defeat so that you get the lesson. You got the lesson now? Okay. ثُمَّ صَرَفَهَا عَنْكُمْ. He stopped your defeat. And he made you stand up. And he made the non-believers say, whatever victory we had achieved now, let's keep it and go. For those guys, if we go again into another confrontation with them, they are right now ready to die. And they are not, we are not going to be able to defeat them. So let's claim victory now and go before it's too late. So, and that's what they did. They claimed the victory and they went. They could not follow them. They could not finish them. They said, okay, this is enough. All right, we won. And they left. Okay? So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, the message is the same. Is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to you with a special language. But, in the Sahaba, Allah sent it in the Quran. How about in our situation? Would we get it in the Quran? No. Then how do we get it? Like the Prophet said, believers, when they get sick, they think about the wisdom of Allah. Why am I getting sick? What have I done wrong? And they are always continuously thinking, oh, my shoes got torn. Why did it get torn? Oh, this happened. Oh, why is this? Oh, my wife yelled at me. Why did I do something wrong? What have I done wrong? Always continuously thinking. On the other hand, the Prophet said, but the hypocrites, which are Muslims, but have the features of hypocrisy, or the non-believers, they are like the camels. مَثَلُهُ مِثْلِ الْبَعِيرِ لَا يَدْرِي فِي مَا عَقَلُوهُ وَفِي مَا فَكُّوهُ. The example is like the example of the camel. He doesn't know why the camel moved like this. He doesn't know why was he tied down and why was he released. He have no clue. You have no clue. I got sick. Why? I have no clue. It's just I got sick. It's life. Oh, alhamdulillah, now I'm fine. No, he doesn't say alhamdulillah. Oh, okay, good. Now it's fine. Life is good. Okay, why did you get your health back? For what reason? Another chance maybe or something? I have no clue. No clue. No clue. That's always what you get. No clue. Just like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So, this way Allah is maintaining the communication with you and reminding you through the Quran, who is written for the whole Muslim Ummah, about special favor that He gave to you. Putting it into your heart and your eyes are in tears. And then, at the end, you get the same exact responsibilities. Okay, I made you rich beyond your wildest dreams. I found you misguided and distracted and I guided you to the right way. And then, I am asking you to do what? Same way. Don't yell at the orphan. Don't be mean to the orphan. Don't yell and rebel the orphan. Don't yell and rebel the needy. And the blessings and the favors of Allah, you should thank them and they should reflect on you. Don't pretend to be otherwise. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. Go
ahead. I didn't mean to stop you,
but... No, I'm done.
Okay, so... So the question I have, so this is kind of confusing.
No problem.
But it seems like what you're saying right now is that whatever wrong happens to me, I should go back and try to find the reason of why it happened. there is something wrong, that's why it happened. The other way to look at it, you know, maybe this is the will of Allah, and maybe it's a test for whatever reason, maybe for future. And maybe I'll pass this exam, inshallah, and then next time I'll be more strong. But the way you're putting it right now, it gives me it's a good thing to reflect back. But at the same time, it's like I'm trying to find a reason for the will of Allah. And I somehow I'm a little bit, I don't want to challenge the will of Allah. You know? Yes, I do want to go back and reflect, don't get me wrong. But to me it's like, why did it happen? Or maybe I did something wrong. It seems like whatever wrong happens to me is because of some reason that I did something bad. No, maybe it may be because Allah wants to prepare me for something else. That may be one reason, or maybe that's how Allah wanted it. Maybe that's the law of nature.
Yeah, that's true. What you said is 100% accurate. There could be multiple messages in one incident, and Allah will put it, make it in your heart in such a way that you feel that, oh, this is for this and this and this and this. And you, at the end, when you have the basira, the eyes and the heart, you will be able to recognize that this is the most prevailing message. And not only reflect on harm things, reflect also on blessings. Ya Allah, you gave me this, alhamdulillah. Reflect on it, Ya Allah. Maybe you gave me this because I helped my mother. Ya Allah, remember when we were talking together and you mentioned that Allah has blessed you so much by saving your money because you took your money and you bought a house for your mother. And because of that, otherwise you would have put your money in the stock market before it collapses, so they would have been gone. Look, why did you say that? Why did you say that? You say that because you are a believer who is continuously thinking and linking. A non-believer will not say that. A non-believer will say, I'm lucky. Right? But you said, Allah, subhanAllah, because I did this to my mother, my money was completely saved. Not only that, but the house appreciated. I can sell it and get more money. Otherwise, my money would have been now gone in the stock market. Remember? That's a particular incident in your particular situation. And I'm sorry to say it in front of everybody, but this is an example. There is one thing, one little story I want to mention before you go, brother.
Yeah.
One little story. There was a bird, no, I don't mean to stop you, but there is a bird at the time of Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam. Okay, look what the bird did. You know, Prophet Sulaiman used to speak to the birds. And the bird was a flesh-eating, a meat-eating bird. And he was rebelling against the nature of Allah. He was stealing food. The birds are not supposed to steal food, but he was rebelling. He's from the fawasiq who rebelled against the nature of Allah, and he's stealing food. So he would go into people who are barbecuing, and then when they are barbecuing the meat, he would land on the piece of meat and steal it and take it to his nest. So what happened is one time he was wanted to do that, so he did it. But as a punishment for him, Allah made a piece of charcoal stick with the meat. So he stole the meat with the charcoal. Then when he put it in his nest, what happened to his nest? His nest burned. So he got so hurt, and it had his little kids, and it was an awful punishment for the bird. So the bird got so much hurt, and he went to Prophet Sulaiman, and he said, you taught us about the nature of Allah, that Allah is sabur. That Allah doesn't punish you right away. Allah gives you a chance and room to repent. Okay? Why is this? What you say? How can you explain what happened to me in the light of what you said? The bird. See, the bird is reflecting. You know, humans sometimes don't reflect, but the bird is reflecting. Why didn't Allah give me the room to fix myself? To take a second chance, maybe I would repent and stop doing it. So he said, Prophet Sulaiman, he said, I don't know. As far as Allah is patient and he doesn't punish you right away and he gives you a room, that is a fact. But for your particular situation, maybe there's a reason. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him, go tell the bird that the burning of his nest wasn't for that mistake. It was for a mistake that he did before, that he did long time ago. The stealing that piece of meat, punishment for that is still yet. to come. So
stay tuned.
Oh yes, exactly. Stay tuned. May Allah bless you. I just wanted to share with you this. May Allah bless you.
There is a hadith, brother, also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Ma min shawkatan tusibukum illa bi dhanbin." That's the meaning, you know. The Prophet said there is no splinter or spine, whatever, you know, goes into your finger. It's actually a punishment for you. You have done something, but just like you said, you know, I mean, I'm just putting my two cents here. It is, you know, just like you said, if it is not punishment, you know, I mean, if you reflect and say, well, I haven't done anything wrong, then God is testing you. Just like, you know, Brother Ali just mentioned that it is not just one thing, it's several things. You could say, where do I fit here? Is it really punishment for me, or is it test? And brother, you know, it is absolutely true. I mean, I have not done anything, you know, wrong, except I found myself hurting myself, whether it's cut myself or I say, it done, you know, I know exactly what I did. I cut my finger, you know. And sometimes when I swear to you, you know, when I came back from Hajj, brother, I was cutting something and the knife went into my finger and nothing happened. Never happened before. Never happened before. I mean, I knew that blood should have come, but I did not cut myself.
I'm continuing it very. This is a story, you have to listen to this thing. I was 2 years ago, I'm coming back from Pakistan. So I'm eating, late at night, I'm eating the amrood. What is amrood?
Gala.
So my uncle says, you know, it's late at night and you're traveling, you're going back to America. Don't eat it right now, it's not good for your stomach. I said, uncle, I can have anything but stomach. My stomach never goes bad. I have had all the testing in my stomach after that. From the flight to from Bangkok to China to today. So I know exactly, you know, why. So that I can really understand.
And I can say something very quickly about, because Sheikh mentioned stock market. I have been in the stock market and I lost, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin, a lot of money. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin. Every time I say, when I break even, I'm out of the market. And wallahi, God give me like 4 opportunities to get out. When I said, I break even, look like things getting better. Why don't I get out? Like, I just break even. I have been there for long. I mean, stay a little bit longer. And I stay a week or so. Wallahi, one day, I stay only one day. And almost like 25% of my money just fly away. 3-4 times it happened to me that I said, when I break even, I'm out of it. And I put the order, خلص, and I want to get out. It's just, subhanAllah, sickness. I mean, because you mentioned the stock market. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, I mean, there is a lot of people lost more than me, but subhanAllah, every time. And I see the punishment. I mean, when I deserve it. I mean, I wake up and said, you know, I deserve what happened to me. I'm sad, I'm upset, but, you know, God gave me the opportunity. Because I buy something and just go down and just say, well, I want just to break even and get up to the hell of it. I get even, so wow, things looks good. Why don't I get out? Stay. I stay, and just one day I stay extra. It's just like, subhanAllah. I mean, it's amazing. But yeah, it's just something about, because you mentioned the stock market. I mean, it's a lot of people get hurt, and it's the reason I want to get out of it, honestly, because I can see it now. It's more than, it's Allah Azim, like gambling more than it's investment. Investment, you put the money and you hope that, and it's supposed to grow, but you put the money and it's for no reason. I mean, it's just fly away. I mean, it's any bad news. I mean, it's like, even investment technology, you just stay away from banks and haram things and this and that, you just try to focus. And even if you go with those good company and the halal company, but 90% of the company, even if they're technology company, their asset, their extra money they have, billions of dollars, they invested somewhere else. So it's in a way that, to be honest with you, I mean, like for example, I work at McCullough, and I know McCullough that they are the one who developed the most sophisticated sensors. It goes to the smart palm. That's palm, like when they use the smart palm, the sensor that they use for the smart palm is made by McCullough. And they sold that company to Israel, actually. They sold that portion of the... So, like, to be honest with you, it's like, you say, I'm not doing anything haram. I'm not doing adultery. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. But honestly, I mean, it's, in a way, you're connected to some... I mean, you don't mean it. I mean, you go to work, you get paid for what you're doing. But if you want to look at it, I mean, indirect, you're doing something wrong.
But, you know what I'm saying? I'll back to differ on that, but... is it over? Can we discuss?
Oh, yeah, I'm done. That's the...
Yeah, I mean, Motorola is the same company that gives me for your cell phone, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are so many good things you can do, good or bad. And definitely, this is... corporate is corporate. So you just can't control corporate. And I don't think that as a Muslim, we should stay away and... And one thing I'm telling you, definitely this is wrong, what I'm doing, but look at the intention. So one day I go and this Indian lady, she said, oh, why don't you put this money in a CD? And I said, I don't care. And she said, why? And she said, I don't care, because I don't take interest. Oh, no, you should take interest. And I said, you know what? Yes, put the money in the CD. And so I probably I did something wrong. Because when I realized, you know, this bank is keeping my money and putting it in all the haram way and whatever, and you know, whatever. Maybe I should get some interest and give it to Hidayah or to somebody else and do that. So, what I'm saying is, maybe we should not, and I'm not a scholar, and I think I'm doing something wrong, but I'm taking that money out and then I'm just giving it out for charity. To me, the way I see it, instead of putting in my checking, and just leaving it over there and letting them give it to Israel as a bonus, might as well take it and give it to the Hema over here. So, I don't know.
Yeah, there is some, the Sheikh knows better, but I hear that fatwa that you can do it, but you will not get ajr for it, for sure.
Exactly.
You do get ajr. Dr. Qaradawi did say...
You get ajr?
Yes.
Even if it's interest money?
Yes. Okay. I heard it from the mouth of Dr. Qaradawi in the TV program that you get an ajr for... intent for not using the money, even though the money is in your pocket, for cleaning up your money and taking it and give it to the charity, you get an ajr.
Even if it's interest money?
Even if it's interest money.
So let me tell you a true story. When MAO College was being made, Aligarh College is one of the famous colleges of Muslims in India and Pakistan and Bangladesh. It's like the first real Muslim school dedicated for Muslims. And I think it's a story or something that even the prostitutes, they gave money to Sir Sayyid. And he said, what do I do? So he said, okay, I'll put it with the bathrooms with that money. So I don't know how true that story is. But
now, what is haram is, for example, a person is doing haram business. A bulk of his business, for example, a person is running a liquor store. And saying, fine, I'm going to use the money, half of the money, to build a masjid. Okay? What is, in this particular scenario, what is required, as Allah said, فَإِن تُبْتُمْ فَلَكُمْ رُؤُوسُ أَمْوَالِكُمْ. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah said, if you repent, you get your capital only, and you have to get rid of the Prophet. So, what in this particular scenario, he has to repent, which is to stop the liquor business, and take whatever earnings and put it into a charity. He gets the reward. But continuing the business and taking the money, putting it in the charity is haram. But that's a totally different animal than the situation of the banks. Because the situation of the bank is not, we're not comparing apples to oranges here. To apples here, we're comparing apples to oranges. It's a totally different situation than selling a liquor as your primary business, as your daily work. We're talking about a secondary source of haram that is not avoidable.
It's not avoidable. Why it's not avoidable?
Every time you, you have to put your money in a bank. If you keep,
why if you don't, you invest somewhere else.
If you have more than $6,000 in cash, it's illegal. It's illegal. It's against the law.
Worldwide.
If you have more than $6,000 cash, it's against the law.
No, you can invest. I mean, you can, as there are a lot of charity, but there are a lot of organizations, for example, where they can give the dividends. Why invest in a bank when it's clear cut? It is a war against God Almighty to take interest, no matter what shape and form we see.
Yeah.
It is a definitely war. It is hideous, it is as if a man is doing zina with his mother. We cannot give any color, no matter what Shaykh tells us what to do. If we say, Amanna Sadakna, we heard this is wrong, we will not get close to it, don't paint with different brushes. Why we say that we have to have these alternatives?
No, no, not investment in the bank. Like, you have your checking account, right? So they offer you, I mean, all the time I go to the bank. Why you don't move it to saving? Even you can use it as checking.
You can. Yeah, there are non-interest-bearing accounts. I'm not saying. I'm saying a bank gives you $6,000, for example. Could you have avoided that interest, receiving it or giving it, and do something else? If we have alternatives. I mean, there are different so-called Islamic banks or whatever it is. I mean, personally, I see we should have option for it. Why support a thing? And that's my
I because that's why I said probably what I'm doing is wrong. You know, probably the Sheikh is saying whatever.
Both of you are right.
Yeah,
he's right and you're right.
But here's the thing. Let me say, I think I'm taking the easy way out, and he is doing the hard.
For example, buying a house and interest. Listen, there are people who lived this country for 30 years. Had this hadith, they said, I cannot give. And shall I? After 30 years, God blessed them, and they did buy a house within them. So they had patience for 30 years. Somebody said, come on. There was a fatwa in England in 55. If you are living in a foreign country, like Sheikh Qardawi has, that if you live in a foreign country, first-time buyers can guide and pay the interest. And there were a lot of imams in this country also who, when they came here, they applied to the bank and got a loan, interest, and there, because there was a fatwa from England in mid-50s, a lot of Muslims wanted to buy something. They could not. They had to have somebody else. So, Allah Allah.
So, there is wara, by the way, there is wara, levels of wara. Wara means the buffer zone between you and haram. So, Umar ibn al-Khattab, for example, says, we leave 19 al-haram, al-halal, makhafata an-naqa' fil-haram. We leave a buffer zone, 90% of halal. We leave it as a buffer between us and haram. So we're sure we're not in haram. That's called wara. Some people are unable to afford that level of wara in terms of they are unable psychologically and iman-wise. They are unable to meet that level. They are unable. It's difficult. It's hard to them. They are unable to do it. So as long as you are within the area, cut-off line between haram and halal, even if you get so close to the haram, you're still okay. Of course, what you say is very attractive and much better, but who can do it? The question is.
Well, now, I care. People, if they are, but there is no, you know, first of all, you have to have iman. As you rightly said,
right.
You trust in God, and God Almighty will take care of you. Hold on this rope, He will never let you go down. If we are given that type of teaching, wallahi, there's no reason to have this waswasa in our heart. That Shaitan will tell you to, as you rightly said, the example you gave was very nice. You focus, don't get oriented. I mean, as human beings, we always get disoriented, but we have that belief, you have it. We should not fall into these temptations. I mean, as you said, if we are taught, for example, have patience. Don't look at the houses, what happened here. Have patience. God Almighty be with you. Don't get into it that you have buy a loan or somebody lost. I mean, there's a test for every time we stumble, it's a test from God Almighty to do something wrong. But we should be asked, this is haram no matter what shape or form it is. This is clear. I mean, you cannot change it. It's up to you whether you want to take it or not. But clear cut, give the indication this is haram. I mean, this is up to a person's level of what he wants to do it.
There's a saying that says, easier said than done. So it is much easier to say that than it's actually to run through a compelling situation where you're so much compelled into.
But Sheikh, I disagree with that. For example, taking meat, halal and haram meat, for example. I don't know how, I've been in this country for 35 years. When we came, there was not a single halal zabiya meat available in most of the places. In California, in San Jose, we had to go to Berkeley. There was one Muslim shop available, Pakistani, who would do zabiya meat. So it's up to an individual. I have seen Hindus, in 35 years ago, in their religion, they are vegetarians. They would stay on salad for 6 days when they had to go to conference because they had this conviction in the heart. They don't have to eat the meat, they will eat what? Muslims, we could eat fish. We can have other things. It is a conviction what we have in our heart. I know Mr. Jain, big, he would go for a medical conference. He's a PhD student. We would laugh at him. So at least take something. He would live just salad, nothing else, and have Coke or water and milk. Because his conviction, his religion says you cannot eat meat. Muslims, we had option, have fish, you can have cheese, you could have this thing. Why is it us to have a non-zabiha meat when it's clear that we cannot eat it? Not easier certain than how we do it. Muslims from San Jose would go to Berkeley because we had a zabiha meat available and that was the only place to do it. What is wrong with that?
But brother, you know,
I'm just saying, I'm not, I'm brother, not saying, I'm not,
but,
you can
but,
say
but
that.
No, you gotta understand this though. You're saying it to everybody, everybody has to hear this.
Yeah.
Because God is merciful. God does not give us hard time. He said, "La baghi lil muttar."
Sure.
If you want to eat, you know, as long as you know you are not, you know, nobody, you know. So if you are mutar, you have to eat. You don't have to kill yourself in order for you to be Muslim.
So let me ask
you. I agree with you.
God is merciful.
Under certain conditions, we can even eat.
That's the difference between our religion and different religions.
We can even eat pig meat. I mean, if we are traveling and we want to save my life, Allah Ta'ala can give me forgive for eating the pig meat. But I have an option.
Yeah.
I am giving the option. God Almighty has blessed me with a vehicle. I'm just looking at this way. Why can't I make use of that barakah that God Almighty gave me, make myself easy and have God's blessings and have something following His law?
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
As you said, not easier said than done. You should be taught. You do something. What is the purpose of getting a sermon? We know what is there and not following that. That's what I'm saying is. Not make difficult for another life. If I have an option of going and buying something in between, if you have two shops here, for example, you have a zabiya meat, he's selling a which way should I go?
Well, you have no show. I mean, if you have the option, you shouldn't go to the other side.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
If you have no option, it's different.
If you have no option, of course.
You're going to die if you don't eat meat. The Indian, they don't have Indian. They never ate meat in their life, and they don't.
Because they are so, they follow their religion.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Not that
This is actually the argument about buying the house. I bought the house. I pay in the stuff for Allah, but I'm saying that it's. Honestly, I mean, it was the biggest mistake I did.
I
have other option. I mean, now, you know, I'm renting my house out. I can't sell it. I'm underwater. And I'm going to rent. So I'm back to square one because I don't like the school district here. So it's like, when I bought the house, I did not care about school district. Now I care about the school district because kids going to school.
Where did you move?
I'm going to Palestine now. I'm not renting now because I'm going for a month and a half in Palestine. So I'm not. So when I come back, I will rent. I'm not going to rent now. I'm just going to rent my house out, but I'm not renting. When I come back, most likely North San Jose or Melvitas area.
So you'll not be coming here then?
I will come. I cannot. I'll come for Sunday breakfast. So.
He's not paying rent, but he's. Thing is talk. So you step from one, you go to another one.
I'm trying to say that I was renting for 10-15 years. After that I bought the house 5 years ago and I lost, I mean the house went under the ocean, not under the water. So I'm trying to say that. I was in downtown. They have those modification things, and Mercury News came to me. Actually, they have an article. I can show you the article, Mercury News, and he came to. For some reason, he left everybody, and he just came to talk to me. Why I'm standing there for the loan modification? I said. So I told him that. Is your loan under the water? I say, I wish that it's under the ocean. So he caught it in the Mercury News. I was talking to Mahmoud Atullah, and he's a software engineer, and asking about how his house, he says it's under the ocean. So he caught it actually in the Mercury News. So I'm trying to say that there is option. I mean, look at me. I bought the house, I own a house, and I'm renting it out, and I'm going to rent. I'm trying to say that by saying that I took that fatwa. They said, like, if you live in this country, you're allowed to take a loan and buy a house. And I went for it because I said, okay, I mean, everybody says it's okay. So I bought. I'm trying to say that there is alternative. I mean, I'm not going to rent again now. So there is the alternative. So I'm trying to say that if I calculate the money I lost from 2000 and when the stock market in 2000 collapsed and what I lost here, it's possible that I'll be can able not buy a big house, maybe like condominium or something, especially when the house of the market. When I bought my house like 5 years ago, with that amount, like with the down payment I put in that time, I'll be able to buy a condominium now and pay it in full. But it's all this down money I bought it 5 years ago, it just vibrated, it's gone. So it's like it's what I'm saying, that if there is alternative, there is alternative. I mean, the problem that it's in your heart to say, oh no, it's like it's this way or that way, and you should like ask yourself.
No, I think I have a very, you know, maybe this is not the right place to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway, Allah forgive me. Whatever my mother told me not to do, that was always fun.
There was always?
Always fun.
Always what?
Always fun.
Fun.
Whatever my mother told me not to do, it was always fun. Mm. And it was always destructive for me after some time, right? So, I don't think that we should say and sit and argue that if we do something, I know a lot of people, they do something wrong and then they kind of, oh, I drink but I don't drive after drinking. Oh, really? Good for you, man. Anyway, so, I recognize what I do wrong and I enjoy it and I ask Allah for forgiveness. I'm not going to argue about it.
No, that's fine. That's respectful, actually. That's one should respect it.
I enjoyed Whopper for so many years. And I think the only, of all the things over here, besides steak and Whopper are the two things that I miss.
Steak and what?
And Whopper. Burger King Whopper, that was really, that is, I have to admit that. Whopper under a dollar, when you're a student, that's a, you know.
That's good.
That's fine, I mean.
But over here, you know, we are so blessed. Where do I like to eat? Mirchi restaurant, Shalimar.
Oh, now it is, mashallah.
Yeah. You know, a pakwan. Whenever I want to eat, alhamdulillah, I have halal.
Exactly. Things change, I mean. Like a long time ago, I remember like my in-laws live in L.A. and they used to drive from L.A. to Santa Barbara to get the halal meat. So I said, this is torture. I mean, like an old lady, like driving all the way to Santa Barbara just to get halal meat.
But you heard there is another thing we are talking about, halal and haram, is zabiha. I heard that the whole thing here, they enter United States, there's 13 places that they slaughter and they butcher all these animals. And enter is 13 places, and who has gone over there and has seen that there is a zabiha and there is halal and there is a Muslim?
If you want to be like this,
this what so when you see the TV, no, it shows that it's 13 places. But we say that it's halal, but who has gone over there and verify it?
They have the certificate. You believe in them? Okay. It's a Muslim restaurant, so you're going to become half shek with everybody.
This is what's happening in Pakistan. Okay, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Abhi kya kar raha hai? Abhi jaldi aa ja. Whatever to Allah, but Allah forbid, there is no Allah. So abhi, but you know.
But it's an intention. What it is, for example, that is second level of what is who's. It's just supplying. If I am a shopkeeper and I am selling haram goods to you under the label of halal, that's not your problem. It's my problem. That's on my neck. But the question is, what is your intention? What are you doing in order to get that? These are two different levels.
No, so that's what I said. Going from Afghanistan, I say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah in the top of the shop. Yeah. But the meat has come from the same place that people are coming. They supply it to you.
Exactly. But
in the sea, halal.
But you are right.
Just by saying La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah in the top of the shop.
Well, two bites for the person who has that, but for me, I think I am fine.
But no. That's first of all, that shows
the only thing you do, you do not. Take a trouble, don't eat any guava, that's it. But the rest is...
I just want to...
But a Muslim is always in the hand of another Muslim. So you're not very...
cognitive that I sit for 1 hour or 2 hours to see that the TV is a 13 place, and other than that, the entire unit, there is no way that somebody can slot them. And on that list, there is no Muslim, there is no talking about it.
There's a place where the other way comes. And then we also come, there's a place where there are a lot of Pakistani and Arab people inside.